Blog Talk Radio.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Earlier this week, Claire Tippins shared a princess nickname generator, 3 pictures of her dog wearing a tutu, and 2 online quizzes, including, what candy is your dream castle made of? Claire, your sharing has tipped the sugar scale and turned into oversharing. But have no fear, princess. Geico has something worth sharing with your internet kingdom, like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance just by visiting geico.com. No magic wand required. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Blog Talk Radio.
Franchise interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.
Welcome to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship. Listen to interviews with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And now, welcome your host, Marty McDermott, and Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 9 years, we've been asking the entrepreneurs to own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with Navigator coach Rick Ibarra-Rivera. And Rick's professional coaching career began over a decade ago in 2005. Rick's passion is helping others achieve their dreams and making a difference in their lives. I'm going to talk to Coach Rick about that in just a moment on Franchise Interviews. So stick around, because we have a great show.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 8 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919. The Stone Coat Franchise Opportunity. Are you looking for a unique and lucrative franchise opportunity? If so, take a look at Stone Coat. With a patented process which creates a true stone finish on almost any wall or ceiling, Stone Coat is a true game-changing product in the multi-billion dollar construction industry. Stone Coat is applied faster, cleaner, and cheaper than conventional quarried stone, which saves both time and money. With advantages in remodel and new construction of both residential and commercial projects, Stone Coat is a true crossover product. The Stone Coat Franchise Opportunity provides a low startup cost, low operating expenses, comprehensive training, ongoing support, and no royalty payments. For more information on the Stone Coat Franchise Opportunity, go to www.stonecoatfranchise.com. That's www.stonecoatfranchise.com or call us at 972-380-2700. That's 972-380-2700.
Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 9 years, we've been asking the franchise entrepreneurs to own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Navigator coach Rick Ibarra-Rivera. And Rick's professional coaching career began over a decade ago in 2005. Rick's passion is helping others achieve their dreams and making a difference in their lives. Hi, Rick. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm great, Marty. How are you?
I'm doing great, Rick. It's great to have you on the show. We always like to ask our guests, where are you calling from this morning?
Spokane, Washington.
Fantastic. How's the weather there today, Rick?
We are at a lovely 63 this morning.
Great.
But we'll be getting up into the 80s, so we have a little warming trend going on. It's nice.
That's fantastic. Well, Washington's a beautiful state, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That's great. You know, I was researching your background, Rick, and you must be one of the most interesting people we've had on the show, you know, in probably a decade. I mean, you have such tremendous experience. How did you become a coach?
Back in the 90s, I actually started taking some courses at Landmark Education.
Right.
And that was my official entry into personal development. Before that, I had done a lot of reading of books. I guess back then we called it self-help, right?
Yes,
or spiritual. as all classic stories, there was a girl involved, right? And my now wife, had said that she would never date anyone unless they had done at least this one course.
Right.
It was the introductory course, which was the Landmark Forum. And I did it, and I did it for the girl, not for myself. And it took me maybe 9 months before I did the next course.
Right.
And then after I did that course, I went nonstop for the next several years taking courses. And as you progress through some of those courses, you get opportunities to coach those courses.
Right.
And I loved that. I found that I was really good at passing on the information and helping other people get it. And so I signed up for a one-year course that supported a couple of the courses, the communications courses. And the responsibility of the team management and leadership program, it was called, was to support the courses. And back then we could coach both the CAP and the CPP. And I coached every opportunity I could, and I always took more than was recommended. And I loved it. I just, you know, it clicked for me. But even back then, I remember that was after a few years, was the first time that I had heard the term life coach. And I thought, what is that? I didn't know they existed. I didn't know you could get paid, because I coached for years,
right,
but this was all on a volunteer basis. You did it to give back, and you also get from giving, right?
Right.
I never realized that you could get paid for it. And so fast forward a couple of years, and my wife said, you need to figure out what else you want to do, because I was in Los Angeles as an actor.
Yes.
I actually went to school, college and graduate school, and lived in New York, and then moved to L.A. And was pursuing my dream. And so I made deliveries at the time to pay the rent. Lots of driving in Los Angeles does not make for a happy person. And my wife said, you know, think about what you want to do. I said, you know, what I'd really love to do is to be able to coach people and get paid for it.
Right.
And a week later, I got a phone call, it was someone that I had done the team management leadership program with, and she said, I'm with a company, they're looking for coaches, and I thought of you. And I still have a few clients with this company. They were called Peak Potentials, they're now New. So I started coaching with that company. I've been through a couple of versions of their coaching programs. I'm one of the old timers now. Of course, I now have my private practice, and I've been working with Craig and the Navigator for 2 years now. building their coaching program. Yeah, and that pretty much sums it up.
That's fantastic. I mean, and it must be very rewarding for you, you know, I mean, to, Rick, to, you know, I mean, get paid and do something that you love to do. And you must have, you know, it could probably be a 3-hour show. I mean, you must have some amazing stories over the years, you know, of, you know, having that ability to change people's lives, I suspect.
Absolutely. And, you know, because I worked with a company that would provide you clients, you get such a variety. And you know, to this day, I have multimillionaires, a former congressman and senator, you know, and I have people that are paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
And I've had people that I've tried coaching for free, and guess what? That doesn't work.
Mm.
They all dropped out on their own.
Right.
I said, you know what, you can't afford it. My heart went out to them. I care for
sure.
them. And I said, I know you can do this. Let's do it. And when you're ready, you can start paying. One in a million maybe would take advantage of that, I guess.
Right.
I haven't found that person yet. People have to have skin in the game.
Sure, of course.
They have to make an investment in themselves, and that helps to prompt action sometimes. Not always. It's not a guarantee.
Right.
But, you know, when people say, yeah, you know what, I want to make a change, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to make an investment in it, it tends to work a little better.
That's well said. One of the questions that a lot of the listeners probably have, Craig, and you've probably got this question over the years, is what's the difference between a life coach and a mentor or a business coach?
Ask 100 coaches, you'll get 100 answers.
That's terrific.
That's the million-dollar question. I'll tell
yes.
you right now. It would be nice if the industry was – you know, like being a doctor, it's,
sure.
it's regulated, right? There's standards. But this industry, honestly, it's still like the Wild West, which is why you often hear it's one of the fastest growing industries in the
yes.
country right now.
Right.
And it has been for years, right? I mean, I've been hearing that
right.
for years.
Of
and,
course.
Yeah, there is an organization that might like to claim being B-body, but they're not. They're large, and they do certify and certify other certifiers,
right?
But still, there really are, you know, I've heard of happiness coaches, I've heard of success
yes.
coaches, I've heard, I mean, you there's some colorful names out there, right?
There are,
and you know, for me, in a lot of ways, business and life coaching can often go hand in hand, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to work with a business owner and not deal with their personal life,
of course.
Life coaching to me is a holistic approach to the important areas of your life.
Right.
I like to start people off in four categories: health and fitness, relationships, spirituality, and then your business finances category. Try and keep it simple, but we're going to cover the big rocks there, right?
Right.
Some people might tell you that a business coach is only there to help you on the business. My mother
right.
has... Where she works in a jewelry store. They've hired a coach to coach the team,
okay.
and so she comes in and she's working with the team. And it's funny because she started with an assessment tool, one of the other guys. So I'll have to talk to her and introduce it to the navigator, right? And,
right.
And so, you know, she's working with the team. That can be, I mean, some people call it a consultant.
Right.
So, yeah, a business coach and definitely a mentor. Now, a mentor is someone that typically you don't talk to weekly. It's
mm-hmm.
usually maybe once a month kind of thing. And they're going to help you navigate the business period. They've been there. They've done that. And they know what you're going through, and they know what you need to look out for. I'm not here to tell you what you need to do in your business. I'm here to tell you what you need to do in your life in order to be successful.
Right.
That, to me, is a life coach.
Sure.
And I'm going to help you with relationships at the workplace. I'm going to help you with relationships in your life. I'm going to help you with your health and fitness. I'm going to help, right? And it's about getting you organized in your life so that you're in action in all the areas that are important. Because typically what do we see? We see people that put a huge emphasis on work, and then everything falls after that.
That's terrific. I met Craig Slavin through research mostly. I've been doing this show now 10 years, and his name has come up probably like 5 times on the show, Rick, before I got to interview him. And, you know, when I started researching Navigator, I said, wow, I said, you know, this is terrific. How does the Navigator provide insights into how to coach a person?
So for people who don't know, the Navigator is an assessment tool.
Right.
Many people have heard of Myers-Briggs. They've heard of DISC.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, we're not just next to them. You know, we're coming out of the gates here, folks, and we're even better. It's a values-based assessment tool, and it's ideal for a company, for example, to select the right individuals. We can create benchmarks,
right,
of the ideal candidate, of the ideal employee for a business by, you know, give us your rock stars. This is
sure.
the average in the 4 categories here. This is the window where you want them to fit into. We have a client, a franchise owner, who has said, we have the soundbite, and this was not prompted. And he said it himself, this isn't Myers-Briggs, this isn't DISC. You know, we've been using the Navigator
mm-hmm.
for 4 years, and
right.
we have found our owner up by 95%. And the difference in using the Navigator is $120,000 a year per franchise, just by selecting the right person. And,
right.
And you know, this guy is strict. If they're 1 point off in 1 category, nope.
Really?
No
wow.
franchise. No franchise for you. He's the the soup guy in Seinfeld. He's the franchise guy.
Right.
You know,
that's
he's
great.
Like, no franchise for you.
Of course.
And what we're telling them is, you know, this is where coaching is possible, is that if they're 1 or 2 points off, a coach can look at the assessment and know where they need help, because it gives you some pretty beautiful details here in separate categories of, you know, what are the areas of interest? You know, where do we want to put focus on? And obviously points out all the strengths. So what it does for a coach also is it's going to save anywhere from 3 to 6 months of get to know you.
Right.
Because let's face it, not everyone is totally forthcoming.
Of
the
course.
Process, because it's anonymous, because it's over the phone, and you don't even see each other's faces for years sometimes.
Right.
You know, I've gone years without even seeing a picture on Facebook, right? And so it saves you a lot of that get to know you time, right?
Right.
And that's a huge, huge thing, because we can gain insight immediately and have a powerful starting point, especially for people who have never been involved in coaching. The coaching is still new to the majority of the country. To present it to the franchise world is not just asking them to step outside the box. It's almost like presenting a whole new box.
Right.
It's non-existent in the world the way we're coming at it, you know. So it's exciting.
When I learned about it, Rick, you know, I said to myself, I said, why isn't every franchise, you know, in the country using this? You know, and I suspect over time, of course, you're going to see a lot more franchises using this. I know, you know, some clients, the Navigator, you know, that Craig was telling me about, I mean, they've been with Navigator for a long time, haven't they?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, the Navigators, we've been calling it one of the best-kept secrets. It's been around for, you know, well, Yeah, in business in general.
Yeah.
One of our new coaches that was recently certified is just doesn't understand it. He's like, how is this not out there? And we've been around for 20 years. But if you think about it, you often hear, you know, every overnight success is a minimum of 20 years in the making. And so get ready, folks, because you're going to start hearing about us. We are really ramping up, gearing up. And, you know, Craig is really assembled an amazing team. And I've assembled a rock star team of coaches that we've certified. You know, I've got coaches with like a minimum of 10 years of experience. It's really, really exciting right now. And you know, speaking of Craig, talk about, I'll be second most interesting once you have him on the show, because his background in franchising, I'd love to hear the stories. You know, it's the history and how far back it goes, and the things that he's done is phenomenal. So, really exciting stuff.
I learn something from him every time I speak to him, Rick, you know. Every time I've spoken to Craig, I learned something, which is why I enjoy talking to him so much, you know. And just all the other industries that this applies to, you know, not just franchising, as you mentioned, you know, it's business in general. I've been teaching for Kaplan University for quite a long time now, you know, and I mentioned, you know, how something like a tool like this would be really beneficial in education, you know, as far as guiding students, as far as, you know, putting them on the right path, because believe it or not, a lot of schools aren't doing that. You know, I work with a lot of students that they'll start a program, you know, they'll come in as an accounting major, and 2 years later they decide that they hate it, you know, and they want to do something else with their lives. And I said, you know, why aren't more schools and institutions using a tool like Navigator, you know, to put their students on the right track? So it applies to a lot of different industries, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And wouldn't you know it, we are in the process of completing the vocational navigator to use with students. And I think ideally, definitely we can bring in the universities, but let's use it in high school. And
sure.
So they can help have a better idea. You know, I took some personality tests. And I don't remember what the categories were, but it definitely wasn't acting or coaching, which are two passions of mine. And but you look at my Navigator profile, it'll say something different. it'll actually tell you more of who I am. The accuracy
sure.
of the Navigator is a little daunting sometimes.
That's great.
Fun stuff.
So, does your coaching interfere with a franchise company's operations team, Rick? And if not, why?
No, not at all. We don't want. We're not there to step on anyone's toes.
Sure.
We are there only to promote them, really. Because if you think about it, people sign up, they buy a franchise, and they all get access to the exact same training. They all get the same business in a box here, right? They all
right, of
get
course.
The same manuals, the same videos, the same whatever
mm-hmm.
it is. But you're always going to end up with high-level, mid-level, and poor-level performers.
Right.
You know, like Craig is famous for saying, just because you can afford to buy the airplane doesn't mean you're qualified to fly it.
I love that quote. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right? And so what we want to do is, one, help corporate say, you know, don't just sell to anybody. Sell it to the right,
right.
person. Going to save you a lot of headache. Let's not to mention, like, litigation for the people who really kind of crash and burn. And we know that that's a big deal in the franchise industry, right? Is people coming back and saying, you know, you weren't honest with me. You didn't have my back. You just took my money.
Right.
And so, one, if you're selecting the right people, you're going to be guaranteed, you know, more mid to high level performers, number one. But what we do is we help people with everything else, all the stuff that corporate just can't touch.
Yeah.
They have no idea what's going on in the personal lives. But, you know, I have clients that I've been working with for 10 years now. You can't help but deal with everything. They got children. You're dealing with what's going on with the children. You're dealing with what's going on in their health and at work and with employees and their life. Hey, hence the name, life coaching, right?
Right.
We are going to look at, and I'm not sitting there, you know, this is not therapy, folks. I am not a therapist, and I'm not just going to sit there and listen to you about your problems. But we are going to talk about what action you're going to take to rectify a situation, to improve a situation. And even something that's going good, I still am interested in how you're going to improve on that, because the
right.
name of the game is to always be growing, always be learning, always
mm-hmm.
be improving, right? That's
right.
what we want. You want to be successful, then it's a constant. So
yeah.
I think we're there to support any training that they have in place, because you know what? Someone might just need a little bit of, you know, time management to take the time to really go through the materials. They might
right.
need to go through the materials twice because something might have been
right.
missing for them, right?
Exactly. It's interesting, Rick, because, you know, I mean, as long as I've been doing the show, you know, I think, you know, and I think this is one of Craig's pet peeves as well when I've spoken to him. You know, a lot of times when I'll have a franchisor on the show, you know, they'll just talk about, you know, growth is, of course, is important, you know, but it seems like their only goal is focused on units, you know, is like, okay, we in 3 to 5 years, we want to have, you know, 1,000-plus units in the United States or whatever it may be. And it seems like that's their only focus, and I think that leads them to problems, doesn't it? You know, if their only focus is the number of franchises they can sell, and that's it. You know, there's no talk of anything else that you've mentioned as far as, like, values-based and assessments and things like that. And it becomes a problem, doesn't it, for the franchise?
Well, yeah. I mean, we're talking a bottom-line mentality, a
mm-hmm.
dollar mentality.
Right.
How many books do you need to read out there from different successful people that'll tell you, you know, when your goal is money, you're guaranteed to not be happy?
Right, exactly.
You know,
whereas,
you know, if you're looking to see how you can make a difference, not just in for yourself, but for others, right? And this is where that giant chasm exists in so many franchises of us and them. Franchisee against corporate. You
right.
don't have our backs.
Right.
You don't care about us.
Exactly.
We've been asking for this, and you haven't done anything for years. All you do
yeah.
is that we keep paying for the product, paying for this, paying for that, and you really don't care about the issues that I have going on in my store. This
yeah.
is another way, because we're not saying that, you know, corporate needs to pay for this. We're not saying that the franchisee needs to pay for this. We're saying that both sides need to pay for this. Corporate
right.
has to reach out and say, we do care about you.
Sure.
But, you know, in a lot of ways, there's only so much corporate can do. They have what they have, and their hands
true.
Are full.
Right.
So
that's
where we come in and say, we can definitely help bridge this gap. And I guarantee you we're going to start seeing more of a team or family mentality
mm-hmm.
because – what I do is I help an individual take responsibility for their life. It's never about pointing the finger of blame. And believe
right.
me, when we coach the corporate executives, because we do that also, we do the executive coaching, because it has to start from the top down.
Sure, of course.
It's not like, oh, yeah, they need coaching, they need help. No, you guys got to get your head screwed on straight as well.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's about understanding human nature, and it really does trickle down from the top.
Sure.
You know, a great guy taught Bob Proctor, Mr. I'm blanking on his name, The Strangest Secret. He taught Bob Proctor that, you know, any business is merely a reflection of one person. It's the person on the top, right?
Right.
And that spreads out. That the owner, right? The boss is
sure,
going to set the tone, and that will prevail throughout the company. And I guarantee you there are happy franchises out there, and the founders are going to be team-based, family-based, like, we're going to take care of our people.
Right.
There are obviously companies that, you know, have great systems and people are typically happy. They're only going to be stronger if they start using an assessment like the Navigator in the selection process, though. Because, again, there's only so much you can tell if you're not using an assessment, right? And when all you have is a resume, because, boy, we know that people hire professionals to write resumes these days.
Of course.
And they can make you look stellar when you have next to no experience.
It's great for Navigator too, Rick, because, you know, I mean, there's enough case studies out there, you know, after all of this time, you know, to show the impact that Navigator makes. You know, not to say it's an easy sale, you know, but when I learned of Navigator, to me, it sounded like it was a fairly easy sell based on all the case studies, you know, that I read about over the course of time, you know, and that's where I said earlier to you, you know, I said, why isn't everyone doing something like this? You know, it just makes so much sense. There's enough evidence out there to show that it works, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Not just our own, but beyond, for the Navigator, for coaching, but when you're talking to someone who's been functioning for 20, 30, 40 years a certain way, and now you're saying,
yeah,
you need to invest in something that you've never heard of before.
That's a challenge, isn't it? I mean, again, you've been doing this long enough. You know, I guess they say it's tough to teach an old dog new tricks, right? And I guess the analogy applies to that as well, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely. And look at successful people. Look at athletes as a perfect example.
Right.
Show me a top athlete that doesn't have a coach.
Right.
It doesn't happen, right?
Sure.
Well, the same thing exists, and this is, you know, remember the book, The Secret? You know, I think a bigger secret
is that
it's a great book. It's a great introduction, right?
Yeah.
But I think an even bigger secret is that successful people have coaches, have mentors, and, you know, always. Because you realize that you are where you are because that's where you got yourself. You want to get somewhere else. Get some help. And the beauty of a coach is that they're standing on the outside looking in. And like Les Brown said, you're not going to see the picture if you're the one that's standing in the middle of the painting.
Right. Of course.
Right? But a coach
exactly.
can say, you know, you got something back here in this little blind spot. And then, you know, when someone helps shed light on it and holds up a mirror so you can actually look at it, now you know it exists. You're like, oh, okay, now you can take responsibility for it, and now you can take action to change it or not, if you choose. Because it's all about choice.
Right.
You know, I'm all about eliminating victimhood. Life isn't happening to you, folks. You created it. You want it different. You got to start making different choices.
That's terrific. So what does a franchisee have to commit to, Rick, in order for life coaching to work for them?
Committing to the process, committing to being coachable, because when you get involved in coaching, there's a good chance that the coach is going to have some recommendations of changing the way you're doing things in your life, changing your routines, because your current routines, your current habits, that's a big, powerful word right there, right?
Yes, it is.
Your habits are what have you where you are. Another word that I like, even better than habit, is ritual. What are your daily rituals, right?
Right,
Adam Martel, who's the CEO of New Peaks, I heard say once that the richness of your life is directly related to the richness of your daily rituals.
That's powerful, isn't it?
It is. Now, I have a quote on my wall by Tony Robbins that says, in essence, if we want to direct our lives, we must take control of our consistent actions. It's not what we do once in a while that shapes our lives, but what we do consistently.
Right, on a daily basis, right.
Same thing, two different ways. You know, a lot of people are missing ritual in their life. And like maybe regular exercise or quiet or meditation or prayer, whatever you want to call it, okay?
Sure.
But, you know, how many people take time to stop for 15 minutes a day?
Right.
You know, so many of us are just like do, 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 do. Well, after a while, you end up with a big pile of do, do, right?
Of course.
And,
I like that.
And
I'm gonna use that.
That's mine. I did. I came up with that on my own.
Great. I love that. That's great.
That's what years of coaching will get you, right?
Sure, of course. Great quote, of course. I love that.
And so it's committing to yourself, committing to growing, committing to, yeah, you know what, I can do this. I don't know how, and that's okay. As long as I'm willing to learn and as long as I'm willing to change. And, you know, as far as a time commitment, I like to recommend commit to no less than a year. And if you play full out in a year, I guarantee you, you're going to be amazed at the difference. If you commit to a year, but you're going to fight the process and resist. Resistance is a big thing that comes up because, you know, we deal with the conditioned mind, the subconscious, what we used to call the ego, and your higher self, right? Your higher self is that part of you that knows you can make it, that part of you that knows you're amazing, that knows you're brilliant. Your conditioned mind is that negative voice in your head that's telling you can't do this. What are you thinking? How dumb are you to have spent so much money on this business? You had no business getting involved in a franchise.
Right.
What are you thinking? That happens, right? That's natural.
Of course.
And guess what? It's not even you. It's not who you are at your core. This is the self-limiting beliefs that we have floating through our head, and it's actually the majority of our thoughts every day. We are is surrounded by negativity. Turn on the TV. Enough said, right? And you know, which is why I tell my clients, don't watch the news. Don't. You
right.
know, get you want to check the weather, get a weather app, right?
Right. That's true. Exactly.
Because you are going to be better served focusing your energy on changing what you have power over, and that's your life. And you start
that's
making
great.
Little changes every day. Believe me, your baby. This is a great quote from Mike Dooley. I got one day from his notes from the universe, and it said the baby steps you take today are moving mountains in your future.
Wow!
And you know, if you move one little, you move one little rock at a time. It seems like you're going nowhere, but you know, over a couple of years, you got a mountain. And process, you get stronger, and the rocks get bigger, and you get faster. It's not always going to be slow like in the beginning when you say, okay, I want to run a marathon. I've never run in my life. And you go out and try and run a mile, and you can't even do it.
Sure.
I've been a runner, and I've fallen out of running, and I know both ends very well, right? And I recently started running again with my kids, and I struggled with a 10-minute mile, and now I'm doing an 8-minute mile. And so it takes a little bit of time. If you stick with it, and that's the biggest thing, is the commitment to stick to it and not give up. Never give up, folks. If you want something, you just don't give up. And don't do it by yourself. Get some help.
That's true. Yes, lots of. I mean, this is a wonderful conversation. I love this topic, Rick. You know, there was another one from Tony Robbins. You were talking about, you know, giving yourself a year, and I think Tony Robbins was the one who said this. You know, he says most people overestimate what they can do in a year and underestimate what they can do in 10 years. I always remember that.
Yes.
You know, and I used that, and I looked at my 10-year decade. I said, my God, you know, the things that I accomplished. And I always stuck with that, you know. I said it was very powerful to me because I think people do overestimate what they can do in a year. But you look at that 10-year period of time, you're talking about the rock analogy and mountains and things like that. And it's very true, isn't it? And you've probably seen it firsthand coaching.
I got it. I got it right here, and I got it this week. 10 years ago, I started working with a client, and he helped fix computers at UCLA. And somewhere in maybe towards the end of the first year, he said, I want to become a film editor. Now, I work in the industry. I know what the industry is. And I was like, are you sure? This is a grown man married with children. You just want to start being an editor now. I was skeptical.
Of course.
I didn't let him know. You know, look, because I'm here to support you as a coach. If you really want to do it. Let's rock and roll.
Right.
And I will support. And you know what? He took some classes. He started working on no-budget short films, no-budget films, small-budget films. Well, to date, the guy's got a couple of films that have gone to Sundance. You know, $10 million budgets. Jackie Brown. Sessions with Helen Hunt. You know, these are big actors, big names, right? And last week, he just got first assistant editor for Transformers 5.
Wow.
This is going to be an over $200 million budget film. And he's like, first assistant is, you know, there's the guy that talks to the director, and then he hands it to him. So he's, like, right in the mix. And, of course, this is just going to open up so much for him now. So, you know, steady, you know, little jump, boom, quantum leap. That's how it happens, folks.
He was committed, too, as you were saying earlier. You know, he was definitely committed to this goal, wasn't he, Rick?
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. And, you know, in the beginning, it was hard. There wasn't a lot of money.
Right, of course, yeah.
His wife was the main breadwinner. And so, you know, he also had to take care of the kids and do all that. And very different story these days because he doesn't get to just stay at home and take care of the kids anymore. He's an equal or sometimes greater breadwinner now, right? And this is what's possible. I just drove 1,000 miles with my mom. I drove down to San Francisco for my brother's birthday. We came back up to Spokane together. And so I got to hear lots of stories. And I love when I get to spend time with my parents. And even if it's stuff I've heard before, you know, you just get to hear about when my older brothers were born and when they were starting out. And, you know, my parents are from Guatemala, Central America. And when my dad got out of the Army, he thought he was going to go back home. And he's like, what am I going to go back there for? Let's go to San Francisco.
Right.
And he loved cars. He was a mechanic. He was a mechanic in the Army. He came to San Francisco, got a job at Cadillac in a couple of weeks as an apprentice. And then the guy there liked him and said, hey, here are these classes. So my dad went to night school. And he worked. And he'd work on cars on the weekend on the side to make some extra cash. And my dad worked his butt off for years, and then he bought his first shop, and then he bought his second shop, and he still has a body shop to this day in San Francisco, and he's 75 years old.
That's incredible.
He's been in business for over 30 years. This is San Francisco, folks, so I don't know if you've looked at the race lately, but it's insane. Right?
That's
and
great.
Small
God
business
bless him.
Owner, family-run shop, you know. And again, this is what's possible if you don't give up, if you believe, you have faith, and life is going to toss you trials. And it's not even that life is going to toss them to you. You're going to attract them to you because there's a lesson that you need to learn from that. Oprah said that I learned a long time ago that when chaos strikes, instead of asking, why is this happening to me, I learned to ask, what are you here to teach me?
Right. It's powerful.
Yeah, and when you look at it from that standpoint, you're not a victim. You know, it's like, okay, Brian Tracy himself says it, you know, life is nothing more than managing one chaotic experience after another. You know, you're humming along, boom,
right.
Chaos strikes. You're humming along, boom, chaos strikes. It's life. There's no perfect. I often like to say that humans' perfection lies in their imperfection, right? That's the only perfection,
sure,
that really exists, you know. But we can strive for excellence. We can strive to be disciplined. And that's the basis and the foundation where we start with coaching, folks, is exercising that discipline, creating those rituals that most people are lacking. You know, we need something a little stronger than making your pot of coffee at the exact same time every morning or pulling into the Starbucks drive-thru at the same time every morning.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
We need a stronger ritual than that. You want to start your day off for yourself. Start your day off feeding your body, mind, and soul. Now you're ready for the world.
It's great. You get to be part of all of these experiences, don't you? I get it. You know, the joy that you must get from working with all your clients, from the story that you told me, you know, about the gentleman with becoming an editor to, you know, I guess just all your other clients. I mean, you're a part of that, aren't you? You get to share in all of that success, don't you?
I do. By no means do I take credit, but I do get to celebrate alongside.
Right.
And, you know, as an artist, as an actor, I've often felt like, you know, an artist is a form of a healer. We help people feel. We help people get in touch with. And that's part of a healing process. I feel as a coach, it's a similar thing. I help people grow. I help people heal. I help, you know, I'm just walking alongside you on the path, making sure you don't stop walking. And if you get off, I want to help you get back on the path.
Right.
You're doing all the work. Okay. I think any coach that wants to take credit, is full of it, and you should run for the hills. Because you're the amazing person in the equation. I know that for myself in my life and creating my own success, but it has nothing to do with you creating your own success. That is you. That is your life. That is your creation.
Mm.
And I'm also going to make sure that you start practicing celebrating. Huge missing for people.
Yeah.
We don't celebrate the work that we do. Instead, we just keep nagging on, oh my gosh, I got to do this. Oh my gosh, I got to do that. Instead of, man, I got up at 6 in the morning and I went for a 3-mile run. Pat
right.
yourself on the back. Okay. Good job. Give yourself a little bit of applause. Nice work. Way to go. Keep it up.
That's true.
You know, it sounds silly. But when we talk about the secret, we talk about the law of attraction, right?
Right.
What you put out into the world is what you are attracting back. It's what you are a magnet for, or you are a vibrational match for. What you put out is not just what you think, but it's what you feel. And oftentimes they're connected. Some people say, a thought leads to a feeling, which leads to an action, which
mm-hmm.
leads to a result.
Right.
Talking to some psychologists, they'll tell you that we're actually noticing that feelings actually come up on their own sometimes. You know, out of nowhere, all
yeah.
of a sudden you're kicked off. Or, you know, it is possible because we have so much old stuff that
sure.
is rolling around inside of us. And you never know. There might be a smell that might be a trigger.
Right, right.
Well, so... You know, what we want to work on is having the awareness and the facility to be able to say, you know what? I'm not going to run with that. I'm going to choose something else.
Yeah, I love
as
that
opposed,
example. Tony Robbins calls it, in the old days, I guess you could appreciate this, he refers to it as like a jukebox, you know, is playing
mm-hmm.
a song in a jukebox, you know, and
yeah.
you get to choose. Is it a good song? Is it a bad song? Does it make you feel down? Does it make you feel happy? You know, but we get to choose those feelings, don't we, at the end of the day, at the moment?
Well, you do. But until you get that you've been on autopilot
right.
and start becoming aware, it's funny because I joke with my clients, you know, we say that, you know, before you start doing the work, you know, you're in life, somebody does something, and you get ticked off, you get angry, you get upset.
Right.
Then you start doing the work, and you get upset and you notice that you get upset, so then you get upset at yourself for getting upset.
That's great.
And that messes with a lot of people, and a lot of people kind of run screaming and saying, this is crazy making. But that's part of the process. You have to start catching yourself. But the mechanism, the autopilot, see, doesn't want to give up control. It's not just going to roll over and say, oh, you want the driver's seat back? Sure, go ahead. Your subconscious is also what we call the fight or flight mechanism, right? Very important. You're alive today because of it. But you don't want that, because that's reacting on a dime, right? Split second, boom. But that's not how you want to choose and live your life. You want to choose purposefully. You want to be living into a greater game plan. You want to be living on purpose. And that means just because someone cut you off, you don't have to slam on the horn and start yelling obscenities.
Mm.
I've driven 75,000 miles in 1 year in Los Angeles. I know what I'm talking about. I had that automatic response. I moved to Spokane. People are like, oh, my gosh, how do you like living there? I'm like, well, put it this way. I've been living here for 5 years, and I've only honked my – for 2 years, and I've only honked my horn 5 times.
That's terrific.
Well, getting out of the environment sometimes is important.
Sure.
But also committing to, no, you know what? I don't want to teach that to my kids that are sitting behind me.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I need to make a shift. I need to make a change. I'm not proud of it, but you know what? I'm not proud of it. I learned from that experience. There is nothing wrong, and I tell my clients all the time, there's nothing wrong with you. You are not broken. We have nothing to fix, but we can make all sorts of improvements. You know, we're going to do some remodeling, you know.
I got a great house. That's a way to put it.
But you know what?
Exactly.
I want to make an addition. I want to redo the kitchen and the bathrooms, right? We're going to do some upgrades, folks. You're perfect exactly the way you are, and I don't care what your background is, where you came from, you're in the best country in the world with the most opportunity, so let's take advantage of it.
That's well said. I could talk to you all day, Rick. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on you and your services? Is there any like websites you'd like to plug or any phone numbers you'd like to have them call?
You know, Craig's websites, we're just revamping them right now.
Right.
Navigator.org.
Okay, we'll put the link up there as well on the show page.
Yeah, if you just put that up. I'm actually building a new site right now, but the best way is to just reach out to the Navigator. You can reach me. You can, you know, contact Craig as well. And we work with large corporations. We work with, mom and pop shops. We really can create benchmarks for anybody and everybody. And we already have profiles set for, you know, what the ideal salesperson looks like, what the ideal entrepreneur looks like. We're even working on a relationship navigator, matching two profiles. So lots of great stuff in the works. Just our general website would be perfect.
Okay, that's terrific. And it was a privilege and an honor for me to talk to you today, Rick. And I'd like to already invite you back next year. I still want to continue this conversation. I think this is wonderful for our listeners.
I would love that. And likewise, sir, it's an honor and a privilege as well.
Thanks so much, Rick. It was great to talk to you. We'll be right back with more Franchise Interviews.
Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, we've been hosting Franchise Interviews many years now. In fact, this year is going to be our 10th year and 500th show, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes on our show. One of my habits since hosting Franchise Interviews is I pick out one show to listen to every single day, and that's the great thing about a podcast. You can go back and listen to the old shows from like 9 years ago, 5 years ago, or even yesterday. And, you know, I always find something interesting for our Great Quotes in Franchising podcast. And most recently, I was listening to an interview that we did a couple years ago with Craig Slavin, who is at the time he was a 45-year veteran to franchising and just full of knowledge. And he had this wonderful quote. He said, "Just because you can afford the airplane doesn't mean you should be the pilot." And he explains why and how this all pertains to franchising. So here we go with Craig Slavin, a franchise navigator.
With so many concepts, this is where your service comes in. When I was reading about your background, Craig, it sounds like you certainly discovered a need in the market. It's as you were saying earlier, it's a nightmare for the franchisor and the franchisee to both get involved with each other if it's not going to work out. So you created this interesting concept called Connect Me. It kind of segues into my next question. With so many different franchise concepts, how does somebody who's interested in getting into franchise, how do they select the right one?
Well, that's a great question. And my favorite expression is, just because somebody can afford the airplane doesn't mean they're qualified to be the pilot.
Wow, that's great. So, I'm going to have to use that on the show.
my pleasure, by all means. And what I found was that people bought franchises for the wrong reasons. And what gave me that insight was really two things. One, when I was asked to provide expert testimony, litigation support when there's conflict, and I would listen to both parties, and it's sort of like that song, everybody's right, everybody's wrong. You know, there is no right, there is no wrong. There's three sides to every story. And then what happened was, it was really a very interesting aha. Having been a franchisor, having sold franchises myself and consulted to hundreds of companies, we'd always scratch our heads and wonder after we sold a franchise, you know, is this going to be a good fit? How are we going to know if this person's a good fit for this model? And you generally don't know until after the fact. And after the fact, if it's not a good fit, it's not a good thing. So we looked at whether or not we could be predictive in the recruitment and the selection and the awarding of franchises to people, because it's sort of like walking into the vegetable section of the grocery store. You don't have just onions. You don't have just potatoes. You've got a wide range, a wide variety to choose from, and the same thing is true about people and human nature. Everybody has their own value system. They have their own strengths, their own weaknesses, skills, behavior. So we looked at how can we be predictive. And I assembled in the late 80s a team of industrial, clinical, organizational, and behavioral psychologists, along with some key franchising executives. And we looked at what is it we're looking for and how can we find it and whether or not there's a tool out there that we could use to measure the skills, the values, the behavior, entrepreneurship, leadership. And the fact of the matter is, in real-life situations, we utilized some of these tools, and the tools were great tools, but they were generally designed to recruit employees and determine whether or not somebody in one cubicle is going to get along with everybody else in the 38 other cubicles surrounding them. It had very little, if any, application to managing, running, and executing a business model. So we developed our own tool, and that tool is called Franchise Navigator. It's a skills, values, and behavioral assessment tool. It takes, now that it's online, it takes approximately 8 minutes to complete. And what it does is it actually identifies the skills of the particular individual, what their value system is, because that's the basis for making decisions, what their behavior is, how they're going to function in a leadership capacity, in operational efficiencies, customer service, people development, delegation, time management. And we now have approximately 150 franchise organizations where we've gone in and we've actually benchmarked their existing franchise operators, and then these companies, using their own performance metrics, identify if they're a high performer, a mid performer, or a poor performer. We have a team of independent statisticians that then do an entire statistical analysis of the data, and from that, we're able to create a high performer profile for either single unit or multi-unit for each of these companies that indicates on a scale of 0 to 100% in four different dimensions where the high performers score, where they fall. All inbound candidates, new candidates, are given the same assessment tool, and within 2 seconds, an email is sent to the franchisor that graphically, in color and through a chart, identifies the individual, how they compare to the high performer profile, and whether or not they're a strong candidate, an acceptable candidate, or a poor candidate for that particular franchise. So it goes beyond criteria of money, location, and industry preference, and it actually goes into, can this person execute the business model, be the extension of the brand in that particular market, and is a good fit? Well, Marty,
a lot of work has gone into this.
Oh, a lot of work, a lot of time, and a lot of money. Yes. We're getting ready to launch version 8, which we're going to release at the IFA convention coming up in a month. And it's going to give us even greater detail and insights into an individual on a predictive basis. We even know how these profiles respond, how individuals respond during various stages of the process of becoming, and then once they are a franchisee, so that we can train the franchisors that it's not about the products. It's not about the locations.
Uh-huh.
It's about the people. The strength of market share comes from not how good the product is, but how strong the people are who are delivering it. So what happened with ConnectMe was we realized we have information that nobody else on the planet does. We know who these companies are looking for. We know the geographic area. We know the liquid capital requirements. So we reversed the process, and we created ConnectMe, which is sort of like the Match.com, the eHarmony mm-hmm. of buying a franchise. We offer it for free. People can take the survey, and within a matter of seconds, they can see their profile. They can download their own personal profile report, and they can identify very quickly and see what companies they match up to, what profiles their profile resembles. And it's only compared to the high performers of each of these brands.
Wow, this is truly, I mean, it truly is a win-win situation, isn't it, Craig? I mean, again, you know, it was interesting when you were telling the story from the franchisor perspective that you sell a franchise, and there must be, and again, I've never done this before, but I can imagine there must be this tremendous pressure or hope, anyway, that the franchisee does perform and that they are a match for the company, because if they're not, I guess, and you know this better than I do, it could be a nightmare for the franchisor, can it?
It is a nightmare, and the mistake that a lot of companies make is they take a one-size-fits-all approach uh-huh. to growing their business. So they'll treat one particular profile the same way that they'll treat another profile, the same way they'll treat another profile, without realizing that what they're doing is they're creating a disconnect. Because if they're talking to somebody who's a very high, what we call associator, that person is going to buy the franchise because of safety, security, because they want to become part of a family, and they need to be trained and developed and communicated in that way because that's their value system. Another profile, a high influencer, is going to buy a franchise for the prestige, for the bragging rights, mm-hmm. so that they can spread their peacock feathers and say, look at what I'm doing. Well, if you talk to that person about safety and security, there's a disconnect. And if you talk to the high associator about income and prestige, there's a disconnect. So what happens is that the companies, if they use the navigator, if they use the assessment tool, have the ability to modify and adapt their tools, their training programs, their communication programs to the needs and the desires of the individual, as opposed to force feeding one process to them all, because it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. You have to write a book on this topic, Craig.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, we've been hosting Franchise Interviews many years now. In fact, this year is going to be our 10th year and 500th show, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes on our show. One of my habits since hosting Franchise Interviews is I pick out one show to listen to every single day, and that's the great thing about a podcast, is you can go back and listen to the old shows from like 9 years ago, 5 years ago, or even yesterday. And, you know, I always find something interesting for our Great Quotes in Franchising podcast. And most recently, I was listening to an interview that we did a couple of years ago with Craig Slavin, who is at the time, he was a 45-year veteran to franchising and just full of knowledge. And he had this wonderful quote. He said, "Just because you can afford the airplane doesn't mean you should be the pilot." And he explains why and how this all pertains to franchising. So here we go with Craig Slavin of Franchise Navigator.
With so many concepts, this is where your service comes in. When I was reading about your background, Craig, it sounds like you certainly discovered a need in the market. It's as you were saying earlier, it's a nightmare for the franchisor and the franchisee to both get involved with each other if it's not going to work out. So you created this interesting concept called Connect Me. It kind of segues into my next question. With so many different franchise concepts, how does somebody who's interested in getting into franchise, how do they select the right one?
Well, that's a great question. And my favorite expression is, just because somebody can afford the airplane doesn't mean they're qualified to be the pilot.
Wow, that's great. So, I'm going to have to use that on the show.
my pleasure, by all means. And what I found was that people bought franchises for the wrong reasons. And what gave me that insight was really two things. One, when I was asked to provide expert testimony, litigation support when there's conflict, and I would listen to both parties, and it's sort of like that song, everybody's right, everybody's wrong. You know, there is no right, there is no wrong. There's three sides to every story. And then what happened was, it was really a very interesting aha. Having been a franchisor, having sold franchises myself and consulted to hundreds of companies, we'd always scratch our heads and wonder after we sold a franchise, you know, is this going to be a good fit? How are we going to know if this person's a good fit for this model? And you generally don't know until after the fact. And after the fact, if it's not a good fit, it's not a good thing. So we looked at whether or not we could be predictive in the recruitment and the selection and the awarding of franchises to people, because it's sort of like walking into the vegetable section of the grocery store. You don't have just onions. You don't have just potatoes. You've got a wide range, a wide variety to choose from, and the same thing is true about people and human nature. Everybody has their own value system. They have their own strengths, their own weaknesses, skills, behavior. So we looked at how can we be predictive. And I assembled in the late 80s a team of industrial, clinical, organizational, and behavioral psychologists, along with some key franchising executives. And we looked at what is it we're looking for and how can we find it and whether or not there's a tool out there that we could use to measure the skills, the values, the behavior, entrepreneurship, leadership. And the fact of the matter is, in real-life situations, we utilized some of these tools, and the tools were great tools, but they were generally designed to recruit employees. and right. determine whether or not somebody in one cubicle is going to get along with everybody else in the 38 other cubicles surrounding them. It had very little, if any, application to managing, running, and executing a business model. So we developed our own tool, and that tool is called Franchise Navigator. It's a skills, values, and behavioral assessment tool. It takes, now that it's online, it takes approximately 8 minutes to complete. And what it does is it actually identifies the skills of the particular individual, what their value system is, because that's the basis for making decisions, what their behavior is, how they're going to function in a leadership capacity, in operational efficiencies, customer service, people development, delegation, time management. And we now have approximately 150 franchise organizations where we've gone in and we've actually benchmarked their existing franchise operators, and then these companies, using their own performance metrics, identify if they're a high performer, a mid performer, or a poor performer. We have a team of independent statisticians that then do an entire statistical analysis of the data, and from that, we're able to create a high performer profile for either single unit or multi-unit for each of these companies that indicates on a scale of 0 to 100% in four different dimensions where the high performers score, where they fall. All inbound candidates, new candidates, are given the same assessment tool, and within 2 seconds, an email is sent to the franchisor that graphically, in color and through a chart, identifies the individual, how they compare to the high performer profile, and whether or not they're a strong candidate, an acceptable candidate, or a poor candidate for that particular franchise. So it goes beyond criteria of money, location, and industry preference, and it actually goes into, can this person execute the business model, be the extension of the brand in that particular market, and is a good fit? Well, Marty,
a lot of work has gone into this.
Oh, a lot of work, a lot of time, and a lot of money. Yes. We're getting ready to launch version 8, which we're going to release at the IFA convention coming up in a month. And it's going to give us even greater detail and insights into an individual on a predictive basis. We even know how these profiles respond, how individuals respond during various stages of the process of becoming, and then once they are a franchisee, so that we can train the franchisors that it's not about the products. It's not about the locations.
Uh-huh.
It's about the people. The strength of market share comes from not how good the product is, but how strong the people are who are delivering it. So what happened with ConnectMe was we realized we have information